Water quality is under pressure in the country, and we have to try and make inroads in improving water quality. If we're in doubt about is it sort of wet all year or for part of the year, I think we should try and go above and beyond and just keep out from that water body and not plough within 3 metres of it. Keep fertiliser and sprays out 3 metres and don't spread organic manures within 5 metres of it. And that extends to 10 metres on the shoulders of the season within two weeks of the opening and closing period.
Protecting our waters is important to all farmers, and generally they'll do their best to ensure practical actions are in place on farms each year. However, these required actions as part of cross compliance have moved a little in the past few years. You are listening to the latest episode of The Tillage Edge with me, Michael Hennessy. We would really appreciate it if you could listen, follow and give us a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. As part of the Signpost Farm meeting in Keepak a few weeks ago, I caught up with Hugh Rooney, an ASIB advisor in Chagas, to discuss how margins are essential to protecting water quality in all farms. I first asked Hugh, what is a buffer margin?
A buffer margin is basically an area, it's a no-spread area between the edge of the field and the water course or water body.
And when you're saying no spread area, what things are you talking
well,
about?
Well, you treat it differently depending on what you're doing. So if there's water in it throughout the year, you treat it as a water course, and therefore you cannot plough within 3 metres of that water course, okay? On top of that, you cannot spread fertiliser or pesticides within 3 metres of it, and you can't spread organic manures within 5 metres of it.
Okay, so loads of rules and regulations. So if we're then to kind of think about then the types of features people, like is along every field, is it all the same, or are we treating different things around different areas that feel differently?
Yeah, well, I suppose you look at the field and you look at the slope on it, and a watercourse at the bottom of a field is called an intersecting watercourse, and it's treated slightly differently than the, say, drain at the top of the field. If the water course has water in it throughout the year, it's treated as a water course, and therefore you cannot plough within 3 metres of it. And for that, and for late sown or for late harvested crops, that's 6 metres you're supposed to keep out from that water course.
Go back to this thing about having in a gripe or a ditch or a dike, or people have different words for it around the country. So if there's water in it for the entire year, it might be flowing, it might not be flowing, but there's water in it. Is there any way of identifying that on a map?
Yeah, well, the department will use the term the maps on OSI, or Ordnance Survey Ireland, at the scale of 1:5,000. So if you want to go into the Ordnance Survey website, look up the maps there at scale as 1:5,000. Any watercourses marked with a continuous blue line are what they deem to be the watercourses.
And are they also marked out on the department LPIS maps as well?
Sometimes they aren't. I've seen discrepancies with them, so we cannot rely solely on them.
So the key part is going back to the OSI map, really.
It goes back to the OSI map. Plus, I think every farmer should walk their own land and try and make a call on it. You'll know the main watercourses, they've got water flowing in them all year, but you may have other drains that have water in them for 6 months of the year. And I think we should be treating them as watercourses.
Okay,
as well.
So go back on those now for a second. So you're talking about, again, a dike or a gripe or a ditch to a degree would water in them as part of the year. So obviously it's a very wet year this year. An awful lot of drains or those kind of things have a bit of standing water in them, more so than flowing water for the most part. You're saying that even though they're not delineated out on an OSI map, what you're saying is that really there should be a 3 metre margin.
Yeah, well, I think, look, water quality is under pressure in the country, and we have to try and make inroads in improving water quality. If we're in doubt about is it sort of wet all year or for part of the year, I think we should try and go above and beyond and just keep out from that water body and not plough within 3 metres of it. Keep fertiliser and sprays out 3 metres, and don't spread organic manures within 5 metres of it. And that extends to 10 metres on the shoulders of the season within two weeks of the opening and closing period.
Okay, and you mentioned also something about 6 metres as well?
If you have a late harvested crop, like maize or main crop potatoes or beet, and you have an intersecting watercourse at the bottom of a field, you're supposed to keep back with that crop 6 metres instead of 3. And that's just to give an extra bit of area where you can maybe park trailers or do a bit of turning on the headlands without it getting ploughed up, and it creates a bigger buffer that'll soak up nutrient, and it's a firmer pad for machinery to park on and turn on.
Going back on it then, so thinking about the, we talked about this 3 metre margin that was already there from the, definitely needed for the fields or for the streams where it's on the OSI map, the blue line on it, they already have a 3 metres. Are we talking about 6 metres out from the 3 metres, or are we talking about 3 plus 3?
It's 3 plus 3, Michael, yeah. It's 6 in total from the top of the bank. All these are measured from the top of the bank.
Okay, and the extra 3 metres you're talking about for that overall 6 metres for these late harvested crops, does that have to be sown into grass as well, or just left unplanted?
It could be left in grass, it could be put into barley, or it could be in another crop that's earlier harvested, and that'll, you know, create a firm headland for machinery turning.
Or left as fallow.
Or left as fallow, yeah.
Okay, all right. So there's loads of, I suppose, particular areas in that. Not overly complicated to a degree. I suppose when you're up around an area like here, I just noticed certainly as I was driving in here into the farm, there's an awful lot of ditches and that around here. So yeah, probably an awful lot of fields are going to have them up in this part of the world, which is around Clonie, up in Meath.
Yeah, and I suppose like these are a little bit complicated, these rules, but you know, if you're in doubt, talk to your advisor. You're going to be seeing your advisor now over the next few weeks, you know, completing the base applications, and just make sure that you're, you know, on side if you do get an inspection.
And in terms of those grass margins, Hugh, how are they managed over time? So they're generally put into kind of a grass is probably the best, from a weed control point of view, grass is probably the best place to have them in terms of keeps out the bromes and that kind of stuff. So you're going to have Timothy and Coxwood kind of thing, is that,
yeah,
that kind of thing,
yeah,
going to put into them?
Yeah.
So how is that managed over time then?
That'll obviously grass up, but you don't want it to become overgrown, so I'd recommend that'll be topped once or twice a year.
Okay.
Just to keep it in check.
Okay. That's fair enough. Just the last one to ask you did mention a little bit about water quality along the way, and obviously this is a part of all of that. And up this part of the world, it's very much heavier ground. Probably, I can see some ponds actually as we're looking out here now. Probably a bit of overland flow on that. What's the risk of overland flow?
The risk with overland flow on the heavier soils is that it'll bring very small soil particles with it called sediment. And the phosphorus fertilizer attaches itself to soil and to the phosphorus sediment. And when that water moves across the ground, gets into the nearest drain, it brings sediment with it and it brings phosphorus with it. And that causes clogging up of the drains and streams, and it brings eutrophication. It brings nutrients into the stream, which causes growth of weeds and algal blooms and things like that.
So it's the phosphorus is doing the harm, if you like,
yeah,
more so than the sediment. Does sediment matter? It just happens to bring the phosphorus, or
sediment,
both of them equally?
The sediment in itself is a problem because it chokes up, you know, the spawning gravel areas on the streams. So you know, a silty stream, you can't nearly see the stones on the bottom because it's silted. So it causes problems with, you know, fish beds and spawning areas. And it also brings in the phosphorus, which causes the growth. So it is there's two problems with that.
Okay, so on a year like this then, say a farmer has it 3 metres in and he thinks he's doing a great job. Your job is doing a little bit more, going out walking all the farms and have a look to see whether there's, I suppose, other areas or improvements that can be made. You might describe how you might maybe, if you spotted something, you kind of thought there might be a little bit more movement there and you'd like, what would the farmer do?
Yeah, well, I suppose, like, we'll only be on a certain amount of farms, you know, over a given time, but I'd encourage farmers to maybe walk their own lands after a heavy rainfall event. And you'll see the areas of the fields that flood, and you'll see the weak points in your banks and drains where the water's getting into the watercourse. And that might be maybe the plough went in a bit too far at one point and just created a weak spot in the edge of the drain. That might need to be bunded up again. You might need to put soil back into that area to stop that direct quick flow of water from the field into the drain. And that would slow down the water, allow the sediment to settle before it gets into the watercourse. It'll just hold it up for another day or two extra, and that will have a huge benefit for water quality.
So as I'm looking out here onto one of the fields here just beside us, there's a great big pond of water in the middle of it. Now, a lot of farmers would be tempted to, Jesus, can I just not just dig out the corner of that there and kind of let it off kind of thing so it can dry out. And so when it does dry out, I can get in there and plough on it. You're suggesting that's not the way to go.
Yeah, look at them. I'd be sympathetic towards farmers. I know they don't want water line in their fields. But you know, probably the worst thing you can do for water quality is to just dig a hole in the side of the drain and let it off quickly, because, as I said, that brings sediment and phosphorus and takes the soil and silt off your field as well. So, if we could help that, if possible,
that would do it. But in that kind of context, somebody might be thinking, well, if I can get it off the field and into the drain, could I block up the kind of the gripe or the drain a little bit and have it in there at least and let the sediment in there, and I can clean that out over time? Is that a solution or not?
Look, if possibly, but it would want to be well managed, Michael, and overseen by someone, you know, qualified to do so. It's not something we'd be advising farmers to do.
Okay, leave it in the field and let it settle out there is the way to go. Okay. Hugh, listen, thanks very much.
Thanks, Michael.
It's going to be a nice day here, I think, with the... And there's a good audience kind of milling around here now, so hopefully we'll have a good day. Thanks very much for your time, Hugh.
Thanks, Michael.
So that's it for this podcast, and my thanks to Hugh for joining me. Join me next week when I catch up with Jim McCarthy to give an update on his farm in Romania. Finally, if you enjoyed the podcast, then recommend it to a friend or colleague, and as always, rate, review and follow on Apple or Spotify so you never miss an episode. And for more information, go to chagas.ie. I'm Michael Hennessy. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with more tillage news and advice.